Are you playing the market, or is the market playing you?
You done taking a wrong turn.
The Money Life Market Call helps you answer the question by discussing what's working in the investment world right now.
It's working. It's working. It's working.
It's real guidance about real investments from real experts.
I play at expert level.
You might find that next great investment you were looking for, or hear that it's time to sell something you expected to hold on to.
Let it go.
You'll learn how investment pros make decisions and what they see for the future.
See your future. Be your future.
You may be excited one moment and angry or frustrated the next.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
But that's just life in the market, as Chuck Jaffe talks stocks, mutual funds, and more.
I can live with that.
In the Daily Money Life Market Call.
Welcome to the Money Life Market Call, and I hear from you guys all the time that as much as you love having your favorites, people that you know and recognize in the market call coming back to chat with you, you also love hearing from new managers, being exposed to folks that maybe you never heard of before who have interesting takes on the market and methodologies. Well, today, it's one of those latter cases. We're introducing you to someone new because my guest is Brian Smolak. He is portfolio manager for the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. The ticker symbol on that, HRSRX. If you want more information on the firm or the fund, go to HoodRiverCapital.com. Brian Smolak, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks for having me here, Chuck.
So we always start, even when it's a guest who's been on multiple times, we always start with methodology because, well, that's what ultimately makes it worthwhile to hear a buy, sell, or hold recommendation. If you don't know what they're doing, you don't know what goes into it. So for you guys, small cap we know, but growth can be described in a lot of ways. What are the things that you look for that makes a small cap stock stand out? And what are the things that make you say, I'll leave this for the next guy?
Okay, so the reason why we like small cap growth is because we feel like it's really inefficient. The reason why it's inefficient is if you look at a stock like Apple, which everyone's heard of, there might be 55 analysts that are covering that stock. If you look at one of our small cap growth names, there might be 7 or 8 analysts. So what that does is it sets up a situation where in lots of cases, those analysts can be inaccurate with their forecast for how the company is going to perform over the next 12 to 18 months. And so what we try to do is look at companies where we think they're good businesses with good products in a growing industry and have an excellent management team and try to put that together with areas where we think there might be some inefficiencies on their forecasts. And if we think those forecasts are low, we go out, we get an edge, be a people person, and try to figure out why those estimates might be inaccurate and compare and contrast our forecast for that company versus the street. And if we think there's a big delta and the valuation's right, then that's an appropriate name to add to the portfolio.
Now, of course, small cap has been a spot in the market that has been challenged in recent years. You know, the market rally since the financial crisis of 2008 has been led far and away by large caps. In your opinion, are we going to see more of a small cap pickup? And will some of those inefficiencies come to roost? Because it's been a market that's been dominated not only by large caps, but by the FANG names, about as far removed from the kinds of names that you were just describing as possible.
Yeah, so you're right. Over the last 15 months, small cap growth has underperformed. From the market bottom in 2008 through the end of 2014, small cap growth was really strong and absolute performance was strong. I think it's set up coming out of this little correction we're having right now for small cap to do really well. You have seen some negative earnings revisions across the market tied to industrial slowdown, commodity prices declining, and a strong dollar recently. But we're able to find a lot of companies who we think are going to outperform and can beat numbers going forward, and we're excited about prospects there.
All right. Well, let's talk about a name or two that comes through the process that is that kind of name that might outperform.
Great. So we really like the fiber optic component industry at this point. The reason why we like the industry is because internet traffic continues to be strong. High bandwidth applications that people are using, like Netflix, some of those FANG names you were describing earlier, are doing really well. And data center interconnections are growing rapidly. So networks are being upgraded by telecom guys and those datacom interconnect guys. What that means is that they're upgrading the speeds of those networks primarily to 100G right now. What that means for some of these smaller component manufacturers that the audience probably has never heard of is that they're probably going to be able to beat revenue numbers over the next 12 to 18 months and have higher margins, which should lead for those stocks to outperform. And even better, they're trading at great valuations. So two of those stocks that we like currently are Oclaro, the ticker is OCLR, and Fabrinet, the ticker is FN, like Nancy. Oclaro makes optical components and transceivers for customers such as Arista and Cisco. After struggling for the last couple of years, a new management team has come in and made it leaner and more focused on this new product area I was talking about earlier called 100G. 50% of its business currently is tied to 100G, and the other 50% has declined and we think is done declining at this point in time. The 100G market is growing over 100%. So right now, the street has a modest 6 to 7% growth factored in for 2016 and 2017. We think those numbers are conservative as that 100G business ramps. And even better, we think that there's going to be earnings upside, particularly in 2017. The street has around 17 cents for 2017, and we think we could do 30 cents or better. The stock's trading at 10 times that number, which we think is a discount to where it should be. So we think that stock sets up well, given the industry backdrop I just highlighted earlier. The other name, Fabrinet, provides manufacturing and engineering services. So a lot of their customers are guys like Oclaro. And so what that means is that as this transition to 100G happens, they're going to see an acceleration in their revenue and earnings numbers as well. And the street right now is factoring in around 13% earnings growth, and it's trading at 12 times. So we think those numbers are also low, and given that industry backdrop and their premier competitive position, we think they're set up to beat numbers, and both those stocks should outperform.
Okay, so again, it was Oclaro, which is OCLR, Fabrinet FN, both in the fiber optics space. What else stands out to you from another area in the market?
Well, another name that we like is a company called Microsemi. They make semiconductor products. Some of it's derived from optical, but they're pretty diverse. About 12% of the revenues come from aerospace, 18% comes from defense, 14% industrial, and 34% communications. They just closed an acquisition on Friday called PMC Sierra. And what it does is it diversifies their business more into storage. And the reason why we like this acquisition is because we think it could add as much as a dollar in earnings to 2017 estimates, which the street hasn't factored in their estimates. So the street right now is around $3.42 for 2017. We think that number could approach $4.50. And the stock's trading around $30, so it's trading at less than 8 times that number, which we think is an attractive valuation for a company that's growing at over 15%.
Okay, so Microsemi, that's MSCC.
Correct.
I think we have time for another industry or business that stands out to you right now.
We really like solar right now. So solar is growing at around a 20 to 30% clip worldwide on a demand basis. The cost of solar is at grid parity with the regular electrical grid, and you've had a favorable backdrop in terms of industry regulations. At the end of 2015, there was a tax credit that was extended by Congress. In 2017, there was anticipation that the tax credit for buying solar equipment would drop from around 30% to 10% and stay there forever. And what Congress did was extend that out for 5 years. So now you have a more stable environment for those companies. And in addition to that, California, which is around 40% of the U.S. market, has put out some favorable net metering decisions, which is good for pricing for that industry. So when you look there, the module manufacturers have pulled back with the correction in the market. In particular, like Jinko Solar and Canadian Solar, both those stocks are trading at less than 7 times earnings, and they're going to grow their top line over 15% in 2016 and 2017.
Okay. So, and the ticker symbol there?
JKS.
Yep.
Jinko Solar and Canadian Solar is CSIQ.
Okay. So JKS, CSIQ. Let's flip it around and go the other way. What's something that you've had to move away from and why?
Well, coincidentally, in solar, one of the names that we did sell during Q3 was Sun Edison. So there were a lot of company-specific issues that were happening there. They had made a large acquisition called Vivint Solar. The ticker there is VSLR. And what it did was it really stretched their balance sheet and made it so that the overall business outlook was much more risky. So we took a step to the sidelines there. We've been in the stock for an extended period of time. When we bought the stock at around $7 or $8, you had a situation where the street had not really grasped the concept that they were going to buy a lot of these solar projects and incorporate them into their business mix and create high IRRs. That transpired over around 2.5 years, and the company was able to spin out another company called Terraform Power. That was fully incorporated into the valuation. We sold it around $30, and this Vivint Solar has played a big part in setting the stock down to around $3 now. We got out around the high 20s, so it was a good exit. But again, the industry backdrop wasn't negative, but there were some company-specific issues.
Well, that shows a part of the research and everything else. You like the business doesn't mean that you like every company in it. It's why, you know, folks want active management as opposed to perhaps saying, let me buy an index or a fund that is focused on buying every participant. We've got time for maybe one more thing that you've moved away from or one more industry that right now isn't quite your favorite.
Well, we're pretty negative on biotech at this point. It's actually a large part of the small cap growth market. We have a lot of experience here. Dave Swank, who's one of the co-portfolio managers with me, has spent a lot of time on the sell side covering biotech as well on the buy side. And you've really had a frothy situation where there have been a large swath of IPOs that have come to the marketplace, and we can't really find any value there. We're looking stock by stock like we do in every other sector, but unfortunately we think that stocks are still priced a little bit expensively based on their pipelines.
Okay, so we dislike biotech. Any specific names that you've had to move away from, or the fact is you haven't had any biotech for a while because they didn't meet the buy criteria and you've been sour on the sector?
Basically the latter. So
okay.
I don't have any names that I would step out short right now. We're just pretty negative on the whole sector.
There we go. Well, now we're going to find out how you feel about some names that my audience is particularly interested in, because it's time for Hold It or Fold It.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or Fold It.
Know when to fold up.
Yes, it's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Brian Smoluk. He's portfolio manager for the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. Again, the ticker, HRSRX. For more information, go to hoodrivercapital.com. Of course, Hold It or Fold It, you know how it works. But if you want to participate directly, if you hope that someday we'll be talking about your favorite or maybe least favorite investments, send us your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, closed-end funds, whatever you're interested in. Send that to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. One of the folks who has done that is Josh in Petaluma, California. He wants to know about RPM International. That's ticker symbol RPM.
We think that one is a buy. It's about 50%. Paints and 50% construction and materials has been hurt lately by currency and a slowdown in Canada. We think it should be able to grow its top line by 5% and its earnings by around 10% and trades at a discount to its historical median on PE. It's actually a fairly innovative company. They actually have this new product called Tough Strand that gets rid of rebar and allows you to just throw in some special fibers that gives you the same effect. And they do things like this all the time. Given the pullback, we think it's an attractive entry point.
So, buying on the dips, a pullback, but a buying opportunity on RPM International, ticker RPM. Next, for Ning in New York, it's Rubicon Technology, RBCN.
So, Rubicon, we think that is a sell. It's a sapphire substrate manufacturer. This material goes into things like LED chips and components. TVs have been tough. Revenues have fallen off a cliff. They have around $34 million in cash, but it's burned through around $20 million over the last 12 months. There's some inventory issues. We think there's a chance that if the industry weakness persists, that Rubicon could go even lower from here.
A sell on Rubicon Technology, RBCN. Interesting. We had a buy on the dips in RPM, and we have a sell on the decline in the case of Rubicon, RBCN. Next, two requests from John in Seattle. The first, I'm not familiar with the company, but I'm dying to know what they do. It's Almost Family Incorporated, AFAM.
So we think that's a hold. They provide home health services to elderly patients in the eastern United States and the Midwest. Home health is the lowest care venue because patients stay at their own homes. We think that there may be some volume that could go its way given the cost pressures that Washington is seeing in healthcare in general. However, I can't say for sure that it's going to be upside to earnings estimates, so I think that's a hold right now.
So a hold on Almost Family, AFAM. John in Seattle had the second request for Vasco Data Security International, VDSI.
Similar to Almost Family, we think Vasco is a hold. It's a good company. They've been able to grow their revenues at a 21% organic compound annual growth rate over the last 10 years. They have a new security technology called Cronto and a mobile app that could be interesting, and that it secures your mobile phone from security threats. They have a new executive there that could be that could do some interesting M&A over the next 12 to 18 months, and the stock's relatively inexpensive. However, I can't say for sure there's upside for earnings there, like Almost Family, so I think that's a hold.
Hold it if you've got it, but you're not buying more on Vasco Data Security International, VDSI. And last, for Joe in Colorado Springs, it's J.B. Hunt Transport Services, JBHT.
So that industry is in a recession. We think it's a sell. There's overcapacity currently. Volumes are tough, and we think pricing is going to be next. I'd sell it.
That industry is in a tough spot in spite of the fact that oil prices are down, so gas prices would have been expected to help it out. The overcapacity is overwhelming the savings that the companies are getting?
Yes. If you look over the last 3-4 months, volumes have been accelerating downward. And it's because of the industrial recession that I talked about earlier in the call. And unfortunately, they don't have line of sight at this point into those volumes getting any better. You listen to guys like CSX who talked about on Thursday what was happening in the freight market, and they're talking about a freight recession. So at this point, stay away from those names.
There you have it. That was a sell on J.B. Hunt Transport Services, JBHT. And that was also a great maiden voyage for Brian Smoluk here on Money Life and the Money Life Market Call. Brian, it was terrific. I hope we get a chance to do this with you again later on this year.
Thanks, Chuck. Look forward to talking to you again.
Brian Smoluk is portfolio manager for Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. Again, HRSRX, the ticker symbol, HoodRiverCapital.com, the website. All right, we are just about done with the Tuesday edition of Money Life. Up next, as we wrap things up, I will tell you about tomorrow's show, one of the ones that is the most unusual and most looked forward to of any year. So you want to know what's coming, and we'll tell you that next.